Warning, the following episode of Warcedi's Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Warcedi and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit. Tonight, on episode 119 of Warcedi's Uncensored Mind, I try to make the big old comeback. That's right, I have taken a break, a sabbatical, if you will, over the last week, ever since my tests were all over, and I have been bombarded, I have been surrounded, I have been bamboozled by all of the topics surrounding my newsfeed on Facebook. I can't believe it. There's so much to talk about, and there's only one possible way to get it all in, and that's, of course, giving all of us another classic Warcedi's lightning round.
Welcome to Warcedi's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Warcedi.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your Jack's old brother from another mother. This is your host of Warcedi's Uncensored Mind. This is A.J. Warcedi, and I am not fooling. I ain't joshing. I have been off of the social medias for over a week, pretty much since my fucking test. I barely was on social media during the lead up to the test, and I really haven't been on social media much after because I've been trying to catch up on some good old-fashioned family time. As a matter of fact, I am recording this on Sunday. And the reason for that is because, as I mentioned on my social media yesterday, I kind of didn't really have the time to do it yesterday. I normally do it Friday night. If I can't get to it Friday night, I usually tend to do it sometime during Saturday. The point is by 9 o'clock, it's usually done. I haven't postponed an episode in a long time, but I felt this one was warranted. I needed to spend some more time yesterday. I didn't want to cut anybody short or shortchange anybody. My son or my wife, we were having too much fun, and I didn't want to cut it short on account of me bitching and ranting on this fucking show. So I did just that. So thank you all for giving me an extra day to get my work together. I am prepared. I am ready to go. As you heard in the opening piece here, well, two things. As you can also hear, I brought the disclaimer back. I used to have a disclaimer where I did it every episode. It kind of died out because I was trying to do the big hype intro instead. But I had to bring it back because, again, complaints about the language. So instead of changing my language, which I refuse to do and will never do, and it doesn't matter who bitches about it, I decided to just go with the opening with the disclaimer, bring that back, because the positive side of the disclaimer is as soon as I started airing it, I got less and less complaints about the goddamn language. So that's back. Still tried to fit in the hype entrance, and here we go. So as you heard in the beginning, the other thing that you heard was lightning round. So while I was gone, so much going on in the world of pro wrestling. So much going on outside of the world of pro wrestling. So much that I don't normally dabble outside because not much outside of pro wrestling, to be honest with you, genuinely interests me. But there has been a lot of conversation going on, and I wanted to chime in. For once, and as for once, me, I want to comment a non-pro-wrestling-related topic. So we have a lot to get to. As if you're new to the show, if you've never had a chance to hear one of these episodes, it's very, very simple. I do no prep work, with the exception of just getting the topics together. There's no prep work here. I choose 15 topics off the top of my head, all that interests me. I only really do lightning rounds when I have a lot I want to talk about. So the 15 is usually not hard to plan and to figure out. So I've got my 15 topics. You will be listening, obviously, to this show, so it's very hard for me to give you a video illustration, but there's a clock that I am using that's right in front of me. And let me see if we could turn the volume up on this. You will hear this. One and boom. That sound will be the start of my 3 minutes. I will have 3 minutes to discuss each topic throughout the course of this entire program. Again, 15 topics, 3 minutes each. That is all that I have. I am not allowed, and that is my own rule, which I have broken very scarcely. I try really hard to not break that one rule. So that is the one rule, and I will try to stay on point with that. So every time you hear that boom, 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 that's me starting. And, of course, there's an end sound. Let's see if we can get that going for the end. 2, 1, and that annoying-ass alarm clock sound you hear is the end of my 3 minutes. It gives me a 10-second overtime. But I try my best to not even use the 10 seconds. I want to be done at the 3-minute mark. So, a lot to get to. I also, before we get started here, I want to let everybody know that I have made a decision as far as the Christmas special that I have been talking about on this show. I have something lined up for you guys halfway through. We're going to drop in a commercial for you guys because I just recorded some stuff earlier today. So that'll give you all the information you need on that. So no need for me to kill time with that. Also, my T-shirt, I'm going to put that back out there. That's going to happen at the end of the show. I've got this bitch formatted really good. I'm telling you, when I have time, I can really put a show together. So I'm just giving you guys the heads up on that. Obviously, thank you guys for checking out the show. AJOUM.podbean.com is where you can catch all of Orsini's Uncensored Mind episodes every Saturday, traditionally, except for today, at 9 p.m. is when it goes up. If you do not have access to Podbean or don't feel like downloading the app, you can catch the show many different ways on many different podcast forums, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music. I mean, the list goes on and on. iTunes, Google Play Music. There's a lot of different ways that you can listen to the show. All you need to do, the most simple way to describe it to people, head over to the old Google, put in Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and you'll find a bajillion ways in which you can catch the show. So that is that. So let's get into our topics. Let's get into this because it's 3 minutes each. I don't want to cut myself short, and I also don't want to sit here all day and do a 90-minute fucking video because I still have things that I need to do for the day. So, of course, I've mentioned this 1,000 times, but I haven't done it right, so I will do it right as of right now. This is, I believe, our fourth edition of The Lightning. That's right. So we'll click in on the clock. We will have random drawings here. Random drawings. I forgot to mention that in the rules. We will do random drawings to figure out which topic we will be talking about first. So let's, well, not just first, but random drawings throughout. So as I said, this is an assorted mix. We've got some movie stuff in here. We've got some commercial stuff in here. Random ass just gossip and bullshit. And then we've got some actual pro wrestling here. This is a mixed bag. It's all the top stories that I saw basically on my news feed. That's what this whole thing is. So let's get right into that. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Number that we picked up here was 7. I probably should have picked before I hit the button, but 7. New Japan! We're talking pro wrestling right out of the gate here, ladies and gentlemen. New Japan Pro Wrestling has been in the news lately. Two big things. Well, one bigger than the other, obviously. They've made some announcements on some dates as far as New Japan coming over into the States. That's pretty cool. If you're in the local neighborhood of California, which is where they always seem to go, which is not a bad idea. As far as, you know, expenses and whatnot, you can look that up over at njpw1972.com. But until then, the other thing we want to talk about here, Wrestle Kingdom 14, okay? Big two-day event. I love the fact that it's a two-day event because doing a 7 or 8 hour fucking show consecutively all in a row is a gigantic pain in the ass. Now, I know that this program is not for me. I'm not a big follower of New Japan Pro, so I kind of get that, okay? It's not for me, but it obviously ain't for everybody either because they split this thing up, all right? Now, even though they split it up, they didn't stop. Day one has 8 matches on it. And day two, I'm assuming, has the same. 8. Yep. So 16 matches that would normally be on the one card because just because it's on one card doesn't mean they skimp. But they did happen to split it up into 2 days, so I'm super, super excited about that. That, of course, is going to be January 4th. Big show in the Tokyo Dome. I can go through the card here, but we'd be here forever, and I only have about 60 seconds left. But I definitely want to talk about the fact that you're going to have Okada defend the championship in the main event yet again. He's the Hulk Hogan of New Japan, but this time he's going against Kota Ibushi for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Jay White defends his Intercontinental Championship against Naito. Ospreay will go against Takahashi for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. And Moxley finds himself back in New Japan against the current United States Champion, Lance Archer. A lot of other matches. The Gorillas of Destiny will be in action. Jushin Thunder Liger will be in action on both days, and this will be his retirement. He's done after this, if you guys can catch that. A lot of other great matches on day one. Day two, we'll have a unification bout. IWGP champion versus the Intercontinental champion, whoever those two may be. Jericho finds himself on day two against the ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Again, a lot of great matches on this card. Kento is going to be in action. Zack Sabre Jr. And, of course, the big note of the big match of note with Jushin Thunder Liger walking out of the door. I'm super excited about getting a chance to see that. There you go. One down. Okay, no. You don't have to keep it. We understand, dude. We understand. We don't need the overtime buzzer. I stopped it. All right, number 15. Oh, this one's going to get me in trouble. Let's go with that. All right, shut it up, big guy. All right, number 15's out here at the gate. Let's mark that. Boo! We're here to talk about something that's definitely going to get my ass in trouble, but I don't give a fuck because I don't give a fuck. So the deal is here. Up here in New York, every state, for those of you who are unaware or live outside of the country, because I have people here who listen to the show outside of the country, each state has its own individual state athletic commission. Some don't, or some have, and then, you know, they don't really have hands-on, whatever. But when it comes to pro wrestling, it's very, very weird. Some states are more strict than others. And some are very lenient. Like, for instance, it's so funny because New Jersey has, if I'm not mistaken, has none. If it does, it's very lax. You can do whatever. It's the Wild West over in fucking New Jersey. But in New York, it's a completely different ballgame. It's basically just highway robbery here in New York State Athletic Commission. They go out of their way. They work tirelessly every day to try to get as little amount of pro wrestling into this city and as in this state as humanly possible. We had another situation take place recently. A company that I used to work with, BCW, Bree Combination Wrestling, had a big Christmas event lined up for last weekend, promoted very heavily. All the dots, all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed, and then the day before, the New York State Athletic Commission decided it was not a good idea to air that show or to run that show, and they pretty much made the decision to cancel it. No refunds as far as the money given to the State Athletic Commission. The fans who paid tickets, from what I understand, received their refunds because, from what I understand from the people running the company, they were not able to find a suitable replacement venue or time. So instead of just jerking people around, they just gave them their money back, whilst also not getting back their money from the State Athletic Commission. So you're also talking about eating cash. That would be a big way to do it. The New York State Athletic Commission here in New York, and this is why I say it's probably going to get me in trouble, because I've worked with these guys a bunch of times. I know a few of them personally, which is fine. But the truth is the truth. The truth of the matter is it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. The hoops that they make you jump through, the garbage they make you go through, for very little return, because all you end up doing is just running the show that you were going to run regardless of whether or not a commission existed or not. They've made a few changes that I like as far as the ambulance and medical stuff, and there's a few things here and there, but for the most part, it's a joke. All they've ever done really is just jerk people around, even the people who do it properly and have the licensing as required. Get jerked around on almost a weekly basis. And it's the same people over time. And no one is safe. Everyone here in New York gets it. So for all those fans out there who bought the ticket to BCW, you know, I hope you got treated correctly and you got your money back. And I hope that this doesn't sour you on the company. It's not their fault. Bam. Not their fault, guys. It really isn't. I don't want to keep expanding out of time zone. So let's pick from the old hat, the old Met hat. Let's get ourselves a number, because I should have did that last time. It cut into my time there. I can't. I balled this up way too tight. Oh, number one. Oh, man, I wish I can get more than 3 minutes on this, but I bitched about this a lot. Let's do this. There's people who are going to hear this right now are probably going to hear it repeated, but whatever. So let's set this up as fast as possible. So recently in the AEW locker room, yes, we're still talking pro wrestling here, All Elite Wrestling. And recently in the locker room, there was a meeting called by Chris Jericho, the champion of AEW. And this is not information that I'm getting from behind the scenes. This is from Chris Jericho's old mouth on the Conan Keeping It 100 podcast. He stated that he called a meeting because he was seeing some things on the show that were driving him absolutely fucking bonkers. And to be honest, it's not just him. There's been a lot of fan chatter about a lot of people on the internet and the social medias talking about the way that these matches on AEW are structured, the way that they look, the way that they feel, they're off. And so Chris Jericho called a meeting about this. One of the things that he mentioned, obviously, were tags in the tag division. Now, a lot of tag teams not tagging or tagging lazily, or just not overall using their fundamentals and basics the way they should, especially for a national product. Now, it goes deeper than that, but I'm keeping myself to a 3-minute limit here, and I'm going to be honest with you, I may discuss this more on another show, because I can go really in-depth on this. But I wanted to bring it up here because some people took offense to the fact that I put that's the red flag. But they thought, this is why there was a misconception, which is why I brought it up, because I want to clarify. My red flag comment was not for Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho did exactly what he was supposed to do. There is a problem, a clear and apparent one, and as the locker room leader and as Le Champion, he decided it was his duty to go out there and say something about it, and he did. And not only did he say something about it, but on a positive note and spin, those of which he addressed fixed the problem. This was a problem that existed. It didn't need to exist. He called it out. They rectified it. It's done and over with. But the reason why I brought it up and the reason why I kept talking about it is because that's not my red flag. My red flag is, why the fuck are these guys having a problem tagging in a tag match? That doesn't make any fucking sense to me. How do you not know that tags are necessary in tag matches? It just seems dumb to me that that's even an issue. You're in a ratings war with the greatest company in the world, and you've got a clear shot at winning. Tags in a tag match, non-existent, shouldn't be a problem you're dealing with. You have one of the greatest tag teams in the world, or so they claim, who are in the division and, most importantly, in charge of that division, and feuding with the culprits in which were used as the example, Lucha Bros, and nothing. There was no corrections made, nothing done about it, nothing at all whatsoever. It took Chris Jericho stepping up to say something. And that's where my red flag was. You've got four EVPs who are playing and working, and those two blending, not good. It's causing problems. And I'm definitely going to get more into this, because 3 minutes, I'm sorry. I brought it up to clear up what the red flag was, but it's not. That was not evident of my feelings about this topic. It goes even way deeper than that. But I did want to bring it up, because the 3 minutes is enough for me to at least clarify my comments. My actual feelings on the topic, we'll get to at another time, because there's a bunch of other stuff we have to get to here. But I am not done with that at all whatsoever. So let's dig into the hat here, because I don't want to clog up my time here with just that one thing. Although I could. I can't wait to really get balls deep into that. And I would love to have someone here and debate me on it, because that was everyone else seemed to have been doing when I was doing it online. So here we go. 12. Yeah, 12. Okay, so start her up. Oh, this one's cute. Okay. So, here's something no one on my podcast who's ever heard this show ever thought I would say out loud, but what is the deal with this Lizzo shit? I had to catch this. Again, this is all based on my newsfeed, okay? And I got a lot of wrestling people on my newsfeed. I don't really have your average everyday MTV type of people on my fucking newsfeed. So, I saw a whole bunch of shit about this Lizzo thing, so I had to look it up. I literally looked it up. I saw the video of her at the basketball game, and she's got her thong on, and I thought she pulled her pants down. That's what I thought it was, but then, like, turns out, like, she had a shirt where the back was cut out, and whole ass, managed to crack, I guess, because that thong was covering it. She's out here twerking, going up and down the aisle, blah, 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 blah. I have several questions before I get into the thong. What size is that thong? I didn't know they made thongs for larger people here, and I'm coming from the industry here. Where grown men wear thongs underneath their gear. So I'm not unfamiliar with thongs on a larger scale. I've seen large thongs before, but I don't think, from what I understand from the gentlemen that I've seen purchase big thongs, those are custom order. So unless Lizzo's hitting up, she's not buying them shits at TJ Maxx. That's a custom order, probably in overseas, because, you know, I don't know if I would test the textile strength of an American thong of that size. That's got to be international order. So good for her if she's cool showing, you know, she's probably spent a pretty penny on them drawers. So if she wants to show them off at your local basketball game, I don't really give a fuck. I brought this up as one of the topics because I just think it's fucking laughable, to be honest with you. Because of the reasoning. Well, if she's being indecent. How many fucking people on this earth are fucking indecent? Stop. Well, there was kids in that audience. Was it your kids? No, but I mean, okay, well then shut the fuck up. Because if it wasn't your kids, then the only thing that you're arguing about is a hypothetical. What if my kids were in that building and they would have seen it? Then what you do as a parent is lean over and say, hey, Timmy, you see those butt cheeks over there? Look away. We all have butt cheeks. Now, Lizzo probably has a pair of buns larger than most. But I don't really see it. There's a lot of indecency in this fucking world. There are daycare centers with adults beating, killing, and choking fucking infants. I don't think Lizzo bouncing her ass up and down at a basketball game should be a primary concern of people, especially since you weren't in the building. The only people who should really be complaining about Lizzo's ass are the people who were in that row who were just sitting there eating popcorn trying to watch a basketball game when these beach balls just started bouncing right in front of them. Then I would have had a problem. Jesus Christ, leave Lizzo alone, dude. Her and her rambunctious ass. We're pulling from the hat, folks. We're pulling from the hat. That one I just thought was funny. Oh, Lizzo. She really thinks she's setting the trend, too. Like, she's the first big woman singer. It's hilarious. Number 11. Oh, we're going to that one next. Okay. All right. Start the clock, I guess. If you didn't like my Lizzo comment, you're not going to like this one. All right, 2-1. Michael Vick is in the news. The former Atlanta Falcon, Philadelphia Eagle, and I think Arizona Cardinal. I can't remember where the fuck his career tailspinned at the end. For those of you who live under a rock, Michael Vick was the famous NFL quarterback who got charged and sentenced for his role in pretty horrific shit when it comes to dogs. Dog fighting, dog cutting, dog raping, dog all kinds of shit. Breeding and anything malicious or vicious you can think of doing to a dog. He did it, and then he sat down with a communal of other assholes and decided to change the game and invent new ways to fuck up dogs. Pretty horrible shit, actually, if you look at the list of things that he did. And his rehabilitation stuff was fake as fuck as well. If you look at all the stuff he did after, when he did the Humane Society stuff and the advocates for animal rights and all that stuff, he did it, but it was all fake and baloney and bullshit. Because that's what he is. He doesn't really give a shit about dogs. He doesn't care, as evident by his actions in the first place. What did they think? That him going to an animal shelter and looking dogs in the face was going to change his mentality? He sat there and watched these dogs be brutalized. I don't think, if he can sit there and watch a dog be opened up in front of him, I don't think he's got a problem staring into the eyes of a sad puppy. Doesn't seem like that's going to move him in any way. Having said all that, the reason why he's in the news, because this all happened, what, 10 years ago? Something like that? The reason why this is all coming up now is because the NFL is trying to figure out what to do with their shitty, asinine, irrelevant Pro Bowl game. And they decided they were going to do something pretty cool, actually kind of close to the NHL stuff, where they pick legends to come in and captain certain football teams, and the captains come in and draft the players and pick the squads and blah, blah, blah. I'm not even certain if he was playing, but it doesn't matter because it didn't get that far. Everyone was just up in a hoopla. Well, he shouldn't be celebrated. Well, it's not the Michael Vick Memorial fucking Sugar Bowl, is it? It's the fucking Pro Bowl game. The NFL is what's being fucking glorified here, not Michael Vick. As much of a douchebag, a shitbag, and an animal destroyer, and a piece of shit I actually think that he is, I have no problem with him being in this fucking game for multiple reasons. A, I don't give a fuck about Michael Vick. B, I don't give a fuck about the Pro Bowl. And C, I barely give a fuck about the NFL anymore. It's the fucking Patriots every year. I have fallen off of the sport, which is my next point. For everybody who's complaining about him being named captain, if he wasn't named captain, if they'd pick someone else, someone more identifiable, a good person, are you watching the game? No, because no one watches the fucking Pro Bowl game. So what does it matter if it was Michael Vick for the NFC and Hitler for the fucking AFC? It doesn't matter. You're still not watching the Pro Bowl. So leave it alone. Yeah, cut that overtime noise out. You're getting me hot over here. It's just fucking dumb. Well, he doesn't need to be glorified. Who the fuck is glorifying him? He's going to be on this TV screen with a lower third for 10 seconds. It's not a fucking Michael Vick roast. It's not appreciation night. Relax. 13. Oh, God. We're just knocking out all these weird ones all in a row. Fuck. I should have. Okay, we're shuffling after this right here. I'm going to shuffle right now, as a matter of fact. I'm keeping the number. Can you hear it? Hear the rustling? This is real, folks. I'm not making this shit up. There's actual rustling. I have pieces of paper and a hat because I enjoy fair and balanced fucking material. Here we go. Start the clock. This one's going to be fun, and it deserves to be short. So here we go. Eminem and Nick Cannon are in the fucking news, which I always avoid shit like this. Nick Cannon, Eminem, this is all stupid shit. But I had to talk about this one. This one in particular, I had to fucking talk about. Because this is the equivalent. You guys, as wrestling fans, you'll remember this. You remember way back when they did, what was it? Triple H versus Eugene at SummerSlam? You remember that? Where it was, and they tried to make it seem like really fair, too. They were really down the fucking middle about it. But Nick Cannon never, ever, 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 ever in the history of Nick Cannon's entire existence has he ever been considered a real, actual, slightly, remotely talented rapper. Like, ever. Like, we know that he did it, barely, like, if that's what you want to call it. You know, like, it's like guys who only get booked to be sparring partners. I mean, they're boxing, but they're not really boxers per se, right? That's kind of what this situation is. And so this guy goes against or calls out one of the greatest of all time, regardless of where you put him in your list, he's considered one of the greats across the board. Even the people that hate him will give the man his fucking lyricist respect. And yes, I grew up on Eminem. He's not the same guy he was years ago. I'm going to co-sign all that people are saying online. But it's Nick fucking Cannon. Like, to be honest with you, of all the people Eminem has feuded with, if he would have just walked by this one, I think it would have been even funnier than had he responded. I haven't heard a single song. I haven't heard the Nick Cannon one. I haven't heard the Eminem diss response. I don't get into all that bullshit. I don't really care. I think the fact that this problem exists is hilarious, to be honest with you. Because with the exception of Wildin' Out, which I don't even fucking watch, and I honestly don't know anybody in my inner circle that does, but I will acknowledge that a lot of people do. It's on, like, what, its 13th season or some shit like that? So, like, he's making moves, you know, he's some sort of MC for America's Got Talent and all kind of, listen, for as long as I will live on this earth, Nick Cannon will always be the drumline guy. That's it, that's all he'll ever fucking be, he's the drumline guy. So the drumline guy picking a fight with Eminem is hilarious, and he's not even the only person on his own diss track. Like, didn't he bring other cast members from Wildin' Out to jump on board? And I get it. I've heard people say, well, he didn't just pick anybody. He picked actual battle rappers, and these guys are proficient. They got bars. They can rap and all that stuff. That's fine. But when you need to bring in the group as part of your diss track for one guy, it kind of takes the fucking steam out of it. It's not a real fucking game. Two niggas just playing pretend on fucking social media. Rap beef just ain't the same anymore, baby. Biggie couldn't even land in a plane in California without getting fucked up. These dudes is in here beefing on track. What do they got, like 7 tracks each? Jesus fucking Christ. What a fucking joke. Speaking of joke. Oh, Lord. Number 4. Start it up. And number 4. Super ACH. You have to say his fucking name correct. Don't say his slave name. Super ACH is in the news yet again. I miss this shit. So he leaves the WWE, right? Now, mind you, he didn't just leave the WWE. Because for those of you who pay attention, you can't just leave the WWE. That is not how that stupid shit works. Ask Harper. Ask Sin Cara, who just recently got released. Ask Bennett, who's still trying to get released. That is not how that works. When you sign a contract with the WWE, you can't just leave. You could not go to work. That's fine. People have done that. People go home and they're like, fuck it. But it's not like you can work anywhere else. You have to be released. And he was. He said, fuck it, I'm not coming back. And they said, fuck you, you can leave. We're not that sold on you anyway. It's fine. Now, Super ACH is a fantastic athlete. Looks the part. He looks like a WWE superstar, too. I actually was kind of curious as to see what they were going to actually do with him, because the guy looked amazing during the short time he was there. Now, I was looking forward to seeing what they were going to do with him. Now, I'll never get that chance. That shit is gone and done and over with now. He will never get that chance again. But here is the thing. At first, when you first look at all this shit, and I reported on some of this shit in earlier episodes, he comes off like a person who's really looking for fucking attention. And the deeper you get into it, the deeper you start to realize, and I'm probably the last guy to talk about this because last week I had this whole deal about mental health, but a lot of people close to him are either, it's like two sides to the coin. They either think that he needs help, actual genuine help, that his mental health is not where it's supposed to be, or he's seeking attention. Now, former WWE superstar Shad Gaspar, Shad from Crime Time, blasted him on Twitter. And I'm not going to sit here and repeat what the fuck he tweeted, but the end of the result was, is basically telling this guy to grow the fuck up, and that he's attention-seeking, that he's doing it for the social media. He's clout chasing, which in the hood is one of those dangerous that you can't just accuse a motherfucker of clout chasing. That's too much. But there's two sides, it seems. People who are really genuinely concerned about where he is as a person, mentally, and then those who think that he's just doing all this shit just to get, you know, momentum going and to get interest in him and to rock the boat a little bit. Well, I think we can cancel out the other side now, because after the WWE, the thought process was, well, who's going to hire him now? And apparently a bunch of people did, and they took a chance on this guy, and MLW in particular jumped on this and said, okay, we're going to give you a shot. And it wasn't about a week when he just said, fuck this, fuck everybody, I'm gone, I'm not doing this anymore, and he's basically retired from the sport. He's not a professional wrestler anymore. So, Jesus Christ, son, I hope you get the help you need, because now I'm sold. It's mental health. Oh, let's get to this next number here. I'm on a roll here. I'm feeling this. I mean, there's a lot of negative shit, like, right in a row. There's a few happy ones in here, man. Let's get to some happiness. This is a problem with randomization. All right, number 6. Oh, more negative. All right, here we go. Buckle up. Hit the button on that, baby. Here we go. 3, 2. This is going to be fun. So I was sitting at work the other day, and I was sitting with a coworker, and we were with a bunch of people, and we were looking on up and down from, there's a TV screen in our lunchroom, and it was a TV screen that played an exercise bike commercial. I didn't even know the name of the company, and I caught it like, I don't know, I must have missed the opening or whatever, but when it comes in, it's some lady holding her daughter's hand, coming downstairs, hand over her face, and the husband says, okay, surprise, and she opens her eyes, and there's a fucking exercise bike in the room, and she's like, oh, you know, she seemed genuinely happy to get this fucking bike, and then the commercial proceeds for her, she's doing all this selfie shit, and she's, you know, recording herself getting hyped to get on the bike, and then she gets on the bike, and she's recording herself getting up at 6 in the morning, and it kind of gives you this feeling like she's video recording her progress as far as her exercise goes, which is fine. You know, this looked like a very basic commercial to me, and eventually she sat down with her husband, they watched the footage of her progressing forward and changing everything that she's got going on. It looked like a really nice commercial. and the commercial was over, and that was it. I really didn't think too much about it. I thought it was weird with the selfie stuff. I was like, all right, well, I can understand trying to, like, record yourself with the progress, but bitch, you just came in the door with your coat on. Like, you're not even in gym mode. Are you like, is that pre-production? Are you just, like, are you doing something for the video edit later? Or it's like, all right, like a segue, a transitional frame, where you're like, oh, this is me now coming in the door. I'm getting ready to hit this work. Gotta get this, like The Rock. The Rock does that. He films himself before and, like, after workouts, where it's like, clanging and banging, baby. Is that what she was, like, her version of clanging and banging? I don't know. But she goes in, and I didn't really think much about it. And it wasn't about an hour or so after I saw the commercial where Twitter lost fucking mind. I didn't even know it was called Peloton. Peloton commercial? Oh, apparently it was a shitty gift from the husband. What kind of a husband gets his wife a fucking exercise bike? What is she, a fat bitch to you? And she's not. She wasn't even, not only was she not fat, she was a gorgeous woman, which was the other side. So it was like, oh my God, look at her. What the fuck does she need with an exercise bike? And it was all kinds of stupid shit. And again, much like the Lizzo situation, I just laughed. Because I'm thinking in my head, obviously it's not a shitty gift from the husband, because when she gave it to him, she smiled, she was excited, she laughed, which means she either asked for it, hinted at it, told him that she's been feeling a little self-conscious and she wanted the bike. The point is she was happy together. How do we know that she's not on baby number two and she's just not feeling herself right now? And he just helped out in that. It's the same way the other way, where it's like, oh, she's such a gorgeous woman, look at her, what does she need with a bike? To stay gorgeous, you assholes. Exercise is a lifestyle, it's not fucking something you do. Just because you lose the weight doesn't mean you win the game. I'm sorry to break it to you guys, but exercise is forever. You have to keep doing it. Okay? It was just a funny ad. I don't understand. I really don't. That ad had me fucking crying. I was like, oh my God. This is crazy. Kind of negative. Somewhere in the middle. Hit the button. I got number two here. Number two here is NXT UK superstar Piper Nevin, also known as Viper in the UK scene. She is scheduled to compete in a triple threat match for the NXT UK Women's Championship coming up soon I believe it's Worlds Collide, the pay-per-view they got coming up. But recently she suffered a bit of an injury, not the kind of injury you would normally suspect, not only from a woman, but a person this young. She has suffered a bout of Bell's palsy. As a member of the wrestling community, you guys should know a little bit about Bell's palsy. It's the same disease that current AEW announcer, but former WWE Attitude Era announcer Jim Ross dealt with, where it's a form of muscular dystrophy that attacks the face. Well, that's where you get the drooping cheek or the sliding eyebrow. Basically, just muscular dystrophy. In that area, it causes a lot of complications health-wise, and it could also cause long-term problems when not dealt with at an early stage. That's the negative part. Positive part is that she did catch it in an early stage. They are, antibiotics and just the physical therapy. They're getting her through the motions here, and she's expected to make a pretty much full recovery from the injury. As a matter of fact, she's still scheduled to be in the triple threat match. But the positivity, the reason why I'm bringing it up, it's just, you know, this is the kind of thing, like I said, it's rare in this particular case. Not just because of her gender, but because of her age. It's very rare that someone this age, at this time period in their lives, receives something like this. It's very rare. Now, I'm not saying it's never happened before, but it is rare. And her attitude about this entire thing has been absolutely amazing. She's been very upbeat, very positive about the whole deal. She's still going through it, and she's still going to struggle with it for a while, but... she sent out a series of tweets thanking people for their concern and their good wishes, which is the usual. But then she took a picture of herself doing the against her will. I don't think she was trying to do it, but she had the people's eyebrow going. So there's a picture of her saying, hey, look, after all these years, I can finally do the people's eyebrow. And there were a few fans chiming in, and she was responding. You know, they were saying, oh, you're such in good spirits. You should keep it up. She goes, oh, yeah, I'm in great spirits. I'm already thinking of returning with a heel gimmick. And she started naming all these different things about the face and a pirate gimmick with the patch and all that. Like, she's just taking all of this in stride. And whenever you get struck with something like that, people deal with it one of two ways, complete and utter denial, or they – tend to just drift down in a downward spiral. She's opted for the third option. You know, I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to make good on this, and I'm going to do my best. And that kind of attitude, that kind of energy, you can really feed off of. So I'm happy for her. I wish her well, and I know that she's going to come back and kick ass. And eventually be champ, I hope. Because she, you know, a lot of people give her shit for being a big woman, but, you know, she's a hell of a wrestler, hell of a performer, her weight be damned. Her versus Lizzo right now would be a money match, if we can get that going. Battle of the Behemoths. Where we go here? Ooh, 9. Yes, 9. Okay. All right, here we go. 9. This is going to be fun. We're slipping into a different area here. Let's get that clock going. Boom, boom. And number 9, our topic recently released, was the Black Widow trailer. We're talking about Black Widow right now because that is the first film coming out for the Phase 4 of the MCU. This is the first time that we're going to be seeing something outside of the Infinity Saga, which is something we have not dealt a whole lot with. Everything that we've done so far in the MCU, all the way back from Iron Man 1, has kind of been linked to Thanos and those stones in some way. This is the first time now we're stepping outside of that. And it's going to be curious to see how they go about this. Now, my concern going into this, I had two concerns. I don't know if you've heard previous episodes where this is why I'm bringing it back now, because it's still a concern. I had a problem with them beginning Phase 4 with someone so instrumental in the previous three phases. You know, this isn't really a fresh start. This is kind of still clinging to what you just closed off, especially a character that passed away in that last film. So obviously this is a prequel. Obviously this is before her died. As a matter of fact, from what I've read, this is the time period just after Civil War, after the film Civil War. So she's trying to close some doors. She's trying to tie up some loose ends here, and we get a chance to meet some of her quote-unquote family members. It's going to be a good film. When you see the trailer, a lot of action, obviously. It's a Black Widow film. The other concern that I had was reeling after the endgame. I just didn't want a very MCU-esque, like, I didn't want them to use Black Widow's film to be kind of an explanation on where MCU was headed. I didn't want it to be such an MCU-heavy film. I felt she earned her own film. It should be about her. And based on the trailer, it looks like it's going to be just that. It's going to be Black Widow solo stuff. We're going to be talking about her, the person, the character, how she came to be, and how eventually she led off to be the sacrificial lamb that we all know and love. And looking at all these new characters, they're opening up all new venues. I thought it was funny that she's the only one without the accent. They brought in all these new people to do the accent, and she still doesn't need to do the accent, which is fine, I guess, at this point. But, you know, no sense in bringing it in now for the last fucking film. But one last thing about the Black Widow trailer and why I'm so excited about this particular film. My favorite MCU film to date, regardless of from Iron Man 1 to Endgame, my favorite MCU film is Winter Soldier. And I got a big Winter Soldier vibe from this trailer. So I'm super excited because all the things that I loved about Winter Soldier, not relying on powers, hand-to-hand, strategy, story, I'm getting that vibe here. So, I'm excited about that. Let's put a pause for the calls on this. That was number 9. We've got 5 left. But before we get into that 5, just real quick, I want to throw in here. I told you about midway through I would hit you. I'm actually past my midway point. But no sense in holding it off any longer here, guys. I got some information for you about this week's Christmas episode I was telling you guys about. And here's that information here. Hey guys, this Friday, December 20th, AJ Orsini goes live on YouTube, on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind YouTube channel. We go live for the very first Orsini's Uncensored Mind Xmas as Fuck Extravaganza. It'll be this Friday, 7 p.m. on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind YouTube channel. There'll be guests. There might even be a musical performance. We'll be talking pro wrestling. We'll be talking all kinds of topics. But of course, we will be discussing Christmas. Yeah! Xmas. It's here. It's right around the corner. And celebrate with the Orsini family by joining in once again on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind YouTube channel. If you can tell, but I'm excited about this. So yeah, on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind YouTube channel, which I will link on all of my social media, direct links, so that you won't have to go scrambling and looking for it. We will be having an extravaganza. It'll be all kinds of stuff. I got all kinds of shit planned for that episode. 2-hour show, 7 to 9 p.m. on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind YouTube channel. But we're not done here yet. Got some more information coming at you guys later. I'm going to play that commercial again at the end so you guys have more information on that. And we're not done. We've got 5 more left. And I just drew during the course of that commercial. So let's get right on to it, baby. So NWA Power is not a show that I get a chance to talk very much about. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm an old school fan. I like it. I dig it. But here's the problem. I'm big on the lights and the pyro and the big feel of it. Like I love the NWA Power as an alternative. I love the fact that I could use it as my appetizer to bigger events. It's not something that I would watch all the time, but definitely when I'm looking for a palate cleanser, definitely when I'm looking for just solid straight action, and none of the glitz and the glamour. That's definitely a good resource to go to. I love the fact that NWA Power exists. Having said that, this past episode or the week before that, I'm not sure because, again, I lost track of time. The Rock and Roll Express won the NWA Tag Team Championship for the 9th time, I believe Cornette said on the show, and I believe it to be true because he's the historian. It's a 34-year gap from the first time they won those titles to the title they have right now. They are the NWA World Tag Team Champions. And there's two ways for me to feel about this. Obviously, I have not had a chance to work with the Rock and Roll Express personally. I just got a chance to meet them in person a few weeks ago. Shook a few hands, said a few words, mini conversation. When you're backstage, it's hard to really have a sit-down, real conversation with guys like that, especially since they're legends and they've got a match coming up. You know, they were in the main event of that show, so, you know, hard to sit the guys down, but they're very nice guys. They were very cool to me, very gracious. I tried to reciprocate that. They're good people. Having said that, it's 2019, and I don't need the Rock and Roll Express as my tag team champions. I get it. It was a nostalgia thing. It makes it feel real again. When they see the NWA Tag Team Championships around the waist of a team like that, with a logo like that, in a ring like that, it's probably the only scenario in which I could see where that makes sense. Like, if you're going to say to me, all right, gun to your head, you have to make the Rock and Roll Express Tag Team Champions again in 2019. What's the scenario? Pick the scenario in which it would make the most sense for you to be able to pull that off. That would be it. In that ring, with that talent, in that environment, with that audience, that's the way you're going to do it. I didn't need to see it. Hopefully, it's not that long of a reign. If it is, hopefully they build it to a point where the next team that gets it is pretty much made, which would be, in my opinion, the only point in doing it is to make another team. But if they play their cards right, this could be very good, but I don't think you needed them to win the tag titles to get here. So we'll see. We'll hold out thoughts, and I wish them the best of luck. I hope they don't kill themselves. Oh, I don't hope. I tapped that on that. All right, what's the number? You know what? I just realized that. Don't is what's killing me. I hope they don't kill themselves. There you go. I do hope. Number 14. Let's put the button. Let's go. Let's do it. Bob Hope. I hope don't. Do hope. Don't. Dope. And number 14. Apparently, they are hanging up Negroes on SmackDown. That's a thing that I found out. I did not get a chance to see SmackDown yet. Again, busy. But all over my list, even in my messages, I had people sending me pictures and of Kofi Kingston being hung up and Not hung up by the neck, by the way, because I'm not trying to create that image. He was handcuffed around the ring post, but the cuffs were up high on the high post while Kofi was on the ringside floor. So his arms are up. Very slave trade-like imagery, right? So I get that. I didn't hear a whole lot of that when Roman was hung up literally just the week before. But, you know, Roman's not a black man, so I guess it wasn't that big of an issue there. Look, my thing is this. I've been saying this shit for weeks, and maybe this is the start of turning some shit around. I don't know. A guy like Kofi, who was paraded around for as long as he was paraded around, to lose the most coveted championship in the history of his entire career, in the time span in which it took him for him to lose it, and have no follow through. Like he doesn't, it's like he doesn't even give a fuck that he's no longer the WWE champion. For him to now come back in some shape or form, meaning in defense of Roman Reigns, or even just a feud with top heels, whatever the case may be, to be in a highlighted, profiled position, I'm going to go ahead and co-sign that. Now, was this the way to do it? Probably not. There are other ways around this. They could have even did the whole deal where they could have, like, teased toward it. Because I think doing it to Roman the week before made this an easy way out. If they had never done it before, they had never done it, and they just strung up Kofi, that would have been OD. But they had just did it the week before. They gave you the imagery of Roman Reigns getting hit with the dog food and all that stuff. And now this week, you know, they beat him up. They put the handcuffs on. They start dragging him to the post. You can kind of see where this is going because they just did it the week before. So you can get Kofi to the point where they're about to set him up, hit the Roman Reigns music, and everybody powders out. So you can get the heat you want without the actual imagery of hanging the black dude up by his fucking wrists. It's possible. So on that note, I didn't like it because I think there are, I got what they were trying to do. There are other ways to go about that. And there's always, it's always subjective. I'm not going to sit here and play Monday morning quarterback on this. It's what they decided to do. That's fine. I can understand the criticisms of this. I know that they weren't trying to be racist, which I know people find that hard to believe, but I actually do, and it's like the Cornette thing. Like, you didn't try to do it, but you pulled it off. All right. I already had one already sitting in my hand that whole time. I have to start unraveling these, like, as I'm talking, because I rolled these up way too tight. All right, 3. Oh, I was kind of hoping this would be last. You know what? No. Stay true to the game, AJ. It's random. Go ahead. Stay true to the game. That only means that one of these two. All right, I can finish with one of these two. All right, we'll stay true to the game. All right. No cheating. Straight up. Have some fucking dignity in yourself, my man. And go. Number 3 is a super positive one for me because I'm going to tell you guys a little story. So, story time with AJ. Sit down, young kids and boys and girls. I'm going to tell you a story, a little personal story. So, I used to work with this group, the SATs, not Jose. It was Joel and Will when I got there. They were the ones that helped train me. They were the wrestling school that I attended. We did our own shows, student showcases. We did traveling shows as Fighting Spirit Wrestling. That's how my career started. If you want to learn more about that, go to some of those earlier episodes. I'm not going to go down memory lane. I only got 3 minutes. 2.5, actually. So anyway, story time. So as I was with the school and I was with the company, I was doing, you know, promos and hosting and stuff like that. One day I come into the school and this scraggly-haired, fucking glasses, white boy is sitting in this room filled with ghetto Latinos and just hood people, right? Just it just didn't fit. The setting didn't fit at all whatsoever. And he's in there, and I have no idea who the guy is. He's not introducing himself to anybody, but I think, you know, find out later. He's a bit of an introvert, so I get that. But we're all standing around, and Joel comes out and pretty much makes the announcement that we have a new booker. And it was going to be the scraggly-haired guy, which is ironic because we had a booker, my best friend, or one of my best friends, I should say. And no one told him that he was being replaced. So that puts scraggly-haired guy in quite the position. Scraggly-haired guy name is Matthew Ryan. or as most of you would know, Matthew Ryan Shapiro, who I feuded with in 2KW, who I co-promoted with, who I've co-announced several companies with, Game Changer Wrestling, House of Glory. I have a long history with Matthew Ryan. The only history we don't have together is with his endeavor with Capital Wrestling, and that's just because I was on hiatus, and we just never had a chance to connect there either. But he is a guy who has busted his ass for a long time, and I have seen him bust his ass for a long time. And him and I have had knockdown, drag-out fights and arguments over little things, over big things. But at the end of the day, I have always had respect for Matt because Matt is a hustler. And not in the sense of, you know, fucking around with you. He's a go-getter. He goes out there and he fucking does what he has to do, period, end of the story. He's a shark, you know. He's one of those point-and-shoot guys. I point, he shoots. He gets the job done. And it's just recently announced that he will be joining the front office for MLW, and I congratulate him for being signed, and I congratulate MLW for acquiring someone who was about to bust his whole ass for them and try to make them a better promotion. So, congrats to him. I've seen this guy grow up, and now he's a full-grown man, baby. And he still got the scraggly hair. He still has the scraggly hair. It's even worse now than before, because it was short scraggly. Now he's looked like some sort of wilderness bum. But, he's still camera ready, baby, always. Matthew Ryan, we are two-thirds of the broadcast boys. It's Matthew Ryan, myself, and Brandon Lewis. So hopefully we can get that team together for one last hurrah. You know, one last go-around, baby, one-night stand. I wonder which promotion would book that. Any promotion that books the three of us for fucking commentary is going to get gold on the microphone, my friend. Number eight, hit the button. Hit the button, yes, button. Here we go. 3, 2, and number 8, WW84. What would 84 do? Or question mark, or whatever the case may be. Wonder Woman finally released a fucking trailer. We've been foaming at the mouth for forever. And in true genius form, it finally gave us about two and a half minutes of Wonder Woman trailer with literally nothing in it. Literally nothing. Very, very minimum stuff in it. But it's good. It gave you just enough. New outfit. Steve's back somehow. They'll explain that. New villains. Of course, the part everyone's talking about. Wonder Woman using her lasso to stream across lightning bolts. Actual lightning bolts. This is going to be fun, I think. I think the first movie was meant to be kind of dramatic because they wanted you to really feel for the character. But I think with the 80s tone, 84, the colors, it's vibrant, the new outfit toward the end there. They're really going for something a little bit more fun. I don't want to sound like a comic book asshole by saying a little Marvel-esque. You know, it's a little Marvel-esque with the comedy and the timing and the color. It's a lot of people making Ragnarok comparisons. Maybe, but we'll see. We'll see where this goes. I'm very curious on the Kristen Wiig end. I really want to see Cheetah. I want to see how they did it. I want to see what they did with her and how she accomplishes this. She's been known predominantly as a comedic actress. She has dabbled outside into more serious roles in the past. Not to great fanfare. But I think she's very capable. And I'm very curious to see how her and Gal Gadot have their chemistry together as a heel babyface dynamic. I want to see. I really want them to fucking explain the Steve thing. Explain this. Explain yourself to me. I want to know how the hell he got here. Why the hell is he here? What the hell is happening? Please explain all of these things to me all in an orderly fashion. And when they do, I think this is going to be a great film all the way around. Somebody pointed out, what was it? Wonder Woman, Black Widow, and there's another movie coming out where it's like all female directors. So we're changing on that end too. All female led as well. So we're getting up there, guys. Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel, Black Widow. We're getting some women power out there. So that's very good, right? Changing it up a bit. Getting a little diverse in the director's chair, you know? So, Wonder Woman 84, I already talked about Black Widow. A lot of stuff going down with this list. There's one more left. I don't even need to fucking roll it or pick it from the hat. It's right here. Let's just start the clock. Let's get right into it because I'm super happy about this. I'm going to have to. The day after Wonder Woman dropped their trailer, Ghostbusters dropped theirs. Ghostbusters Afterlife released a trailer the day after. My dick could not get any harder. I was already sustaining and trying to relieve a boner from the day before, and then right back into boing status. Here comes Ghostbusters. The reason I loved this trailer is, I think, the reason why everyone else kind of hated it. It had mixed reviews, this trailer. A lot of people saying it didn't feel like a Ghostbusters movie. There wasn't a whole lot of comedy. It's out of the city. We got a sneak peek of some of the old stuff, but nothing of the new, with the exception of the gunner position in the car, which I will get to in a second. A lot of criticism toward the trailer, and for whatever reason, those are all the reasons I love this trailer. I've said it 1,000 times on this show. I don't like remakes. I like continuations. I like stories to continue. You can still get new material out there and cast new people and tell new stories by continuing. You don't have to remake. So the fact that we're going with the idea that Egon was not named specifically, but it's pretty obvious that's what we're going with. These are his grandkids. There's not a whole lot of story to tell. The teacher, Paul Rudd, will be filling in some of the blanks. They did give us some old footage on the screen when it came to the 80s and Walking Dead joke. I thought that was a blown opportunity for some comedy, where unless they changed that for the trailer, and it is a comedic point in the movie, where it's like, yeah, the 80s in New York was kind of like Stranger Things, and the kid from Stranger Things just kind of eyes him and they eye him, and it's a weird moment for everyone to share. I thought that was a nice little comedic moment they could have had. But for the most part, I love the fact that it has a completely different feel, completely different place, completely different people, and we're going to chime in along the way with all of the older characters. It has to progress. It has to progress. Stories have to progress. And what it sounds like to me that after years of wondering to myself, what could a 3 even look like? Because we've been talking about doing a 3 for a long time. And I know we just talked about Wonder Woman and how happy I was just for Kristen Wiig to get a shot and do something different. She took her swing at Ghostbusters, and it was a swing and a miss. Such a miss that I think that's the reason we finally got here, that people were just like, nah, we can't let that be the legacy. So I'm extremely happy about this trailer. I want to see more trailers, hopefully, and I can't wait to see the actual fucking film. I'm super stoked. I'm a Ghostbusters fan through and through, have been my entire life, and I'm one of those people, regardless of what they put on the screen, I'm going to fucking support it anyway. Unfortunately, I'm a sucker like that. But I have my hopes this is going to be really, really good. Oh! There it is, folks. 15 topics that I found on my fucking newsfeed overflow bullshit. And that's my lightning round. Oh, wait. Go back to the top here. That is my a lightning round. Yes. That is my lightning round here for episode 119. Again, this week's episode, not this week's, yeah, the upcoming episode 120 will be live. Excuse me. See, this is why I did the commercial. Live on the YouTube channel. I'm normally on Facebook Live whenever I go live, but this time we're doing the YouTube channel for reasons that I will get into at the fucking show. You'll find out there as to why we're doing YouTube as opposed to Facebook. So it'll be on the official YouTube channel for Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I'm going to give you that information right now in just a few seconds. Thank you guys again for giving me the time to put this together the day after. It's not normally out on Sunday, but I got to do what I got to do. You know what I mean? Nah, I mean. So I'm going to leave you with the information about the Christmas thing, the T-shirt, all that stuff, just a few seconds, and then, of course, my usual sign-off. So thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for liking. And, of course, thank you for enjoying episode 119, y'all. Hey guys, this Friday, December 20th, AJ Orsini goes live on YouTube, on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind YouTube channel. We go live for the very first Orsini's Uncensored Mind Xmas as Fuck Extravaganza. It'll be this Friday, 7 p.m. on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind YouTube channel. There'll be guests. There might even be a musical performance. We'll be talking pro wrestling. We'll be talking all kinds of topics. But of course, we will be discussing Christmas. Yeah! Xmas, it's here. It's right around the corner. And celebrate with the Orsini family by joining in once again on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind YouTube channel. Ladies and gentlemen, gals and guys, douchebagettes and douchebags, listen around the world to the voice of AJ Orsini, the host. Orsini's Uncensored Mind, as he tells you Christmas is just around the corner and all you need to do to make someone's life that much better. I'm serious. It will enrich the people in your lives. It will enrich their lives if you buy the Orsini's Uncensored Mind official tee over at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOU. $20 is all you need to get yourself a nice, sexy, gray tee for you and your loved ones. Again, that's prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.